Good morning. Yesterday we had a brief overview of the three principles, and we saw that in the first four verse that Lama Tsongkhapa made the commitment that he would try to explain them in an unmistaken manner. And yesterday we also spoke about the motivation that we should be engaged with, the motivation we should generate for this retreat, which is that seeing that all sentient beings are the same as us in wanting to experience only happiness, we use this as a basis to generate love, and seeing that they are the same as us in wanting to be freed from problems and difficulties, we use this as a basis to generate compassion. We take these two meditations on love and compassion further to the point where we take responsibility for sentient beings attaining a state of lasting happiness and a state free from suffering. And that's the mind of special intention. And then to be able to fulfill this commitment that one has just made, then one thinks, how can I do this? And that is to become the most skilled of guides, to become a Buddha. And then this is where one then commits to strive wholeheartedly to achieve Buddhahood for the sake of others. And this whole process then is the generation of the mind of bodhicitta, and that should be our motivation. And then how does one actually attain this goal of Buddhahood? Well, that's the subject of our text, the three principal aspects of path, generating the minds of definite emergence, bodhicitta, and the wisdom realizing emptiness. Now we come to the second verse, and this verse is addressed to the audience. Those who are not attached to the pleasures of cyclic existence, who must strive to make freedom and endowments meaningful, who entrust themselves to the path pleasing the victorious ones, you fortunate ones, listen with an attentive mind.
Nikivi Shin Tinsuda, Jesuma Dinal, Dikodu to a Ligore, Dinenza, and Chiza Jerumich again, Maya Wenyangore, Sidu, Lama, Lama Jerumich, Korach, Lami, Desiro. That John the Yawenyangure said Loma, Chiza Nyanga Loma Delang, and the Ganes Gure, Sajik Bishiwar, that Dandala.
As in all aspects of our life, if we are going to embark on something, we need to have knowledge and to be able to decide what to do and then how to do it. So it's certainly the case for those of us who have now committed to embarking onto the path towards enlightenment, achieving enlightenment for the sake of others. So we need to gather knowledge, and for that reason, one comes to a place such as this, a place where one can receive teachings, where one can receive the required knowledge. And one needs to receive that knowledge from someone who has the knowledge, as well, preferably, who also has experience and the ability to be able to explain in a clear manner. So, let me put that slightly differently. We need to receive the teachings from someone who has knowledge and experience of those teachings, because having knowledge and experience will enable them to explain clearly. So here in this verse, we are seeing the presentation that in the general Lamrim teachings, it's called relying on how to rely on a spiritual friend. So that is presented here in our second verse, as well as the qualities that the students are required. So what are the qualities from the side of a teacher, as well as what the student needs to do.
Kasore Chiganjina Jambu Jambu Shukuri, Jambu Shakasana, Taya Dinin Guru, Mikasanga to get Tinya, Dako Karashina, Taja Kuchi Shay, Tilangi, Junji, who's got the Sierra Gina, some big, the Dinina, Jimguru, what is what, Chi, Oko Kanashina, Sibi, could not rule Karashi, the Kuk Shetan, the Kanashi, do some, and there are Jun Tiger, some Dajin Yanga Jimguru, and the Hazik. Dinigi and Dunya Shara meeting and Dinian Baligor, the Kajele, Nyad, Lochos, Mahoma, Dramujin, who raised it, then Yang, and the Dujadile, Dujadivine, Dramuchi, who raised, just a Lochos, Mahoma, who raised it, that
Lomaki Kitchen Dumbo.
My mother did Yang, Loma,
Loma,
Loma, Loba, and the Yendiroa,
Lomaki
Kitchen de la Corson, Co. That Delia and Chichi Mangu or the Inner, the Dandala, Tamu Tansha, Losudu, Losu Nietzsche, Chosu Malonachin, and Nyangore, Sajik, and Sigur. That dinner, then also the Sigur Matina, Nyansho, and Yamboku was the Lomalia Nyansho said this Mugurwa.
So this verse then is addressed to the student. So the student, the qualities that the student needs to bring to the teachings aren't directly or explicitly stated, but they are indirectly applied. So you fortunate ones, listen. This of course refers to the students. So students need to come with an attitude that is unbiased, that is honest and straightforward. So what this means is not to have an attitude of that comes from a mind that is closed and is just looking to seek faults and to criticize, because such an attitude is not conducive to spiritual development. One rather needs to come with an open mind, with an unbiased attitude.
That is what Gada Sibi de la Macha Shing said. The Dangandu Gada Sibi de la Sibi Dewa said, Dangandu Kore Dewa, Dangandu Jig Damzam Dangandu Jig Kalasa and Jig Dewa, so Dewa, Dewa Yonata. Damsam Sosuke, Jigayam, Jigbanga, the Nigay, Kamya, Rashi, Devalayata, Damso Sosuli, and Jig, Damasu Kobe, Devalada, Marajoruba down there, Damso Sosuke, Yagaru, Chichi, Dunda, Duyonetic, Devayata, the Nigay Kobe, Deva. She said, Devi, Mazu Chasa, Delia, Chachin, Kobe, Devalacha, didn't have to discuss on Kobe, Devasiva, and to give Ben Gobuni was Suji, Deli, Jig, just Digi, Hoya, now Paso, Kamya, Chichi, just Digi, Hoya, and Jig, Nisheda, Shabra. And demo da dine da ne di yo ya na so su gi dine gi de gi la ngan zu da ngan zu gi mi gi le kho yo kho wa le ji de gi le da nyum mo bu ong gi kho wa le ji cha ne da ji dine ji de gi de mi na da dun do ye na sin da so so de gi de so jo ba 이코위 대화세 오래. 세상 안도 안도 데려야 차지 거래. 배 디 데려야 레워 잡지. 디자냐 차지는 내가 안도 디 돈다래야. 디 디기리 와야 두비야라. 두비야기 돈다라. 아 저기 신내 깨내 맛이 봐도 내가 가래. 지나 디 돈다 제리 거래. 제래. 지나 안도 디 돈다 지거로 와서 거다. 가다 시비 대라. 시비 대화세 코위 대화라 차지. 안도 디네 자야 디 제리 거래.
Looking at the first line, those who are not attached to the pleasures of psychic existence. So what then is meant by the pleasures of psychic existence? So first of all, we heard yesterday that psychic existence or samsara, this came about due to the causes of contaminated karma accumulated due to our own afflicted minds. So this means then that our aggregates, our physical mental aggregates, have come about independent on contaminated karma accumulated by our afflicted minds. So in this position then, when we seek happiness, we tend to seek worldly happiness or worldly pleasure. So worldly pleasure is all the experiences that we do tend to seek out. So for example, the pleasure of being with our loved ones, with our family, as well as the pleasures we experience when we're with our friends and we're out with our friends, or the pleasures we experience from enjoying a variety of entertainment. So this is the worldly happiness that is referred to here, and the worldly happiness that those who are seeking higher goals should abandon their attachment to this. Because worldly beings, whether they are humans or animals or of any realm, this is the happiness that they tend to strive for, and they strive for their entire life until they die. They strive just for worldly pleasure.
제가 먼저 거기 시베 대화 들라 차제 디 대화 투비하고 돈다래 내가 다 말할래 제가 디 시베 대화 소수기다 데니 대화래 차제 대화디 누비에 돈다 내가 레지 대화디 마주디 안에 빈에 콘라야다 콘라랑 데니 콘라랑이 디 디원게 안에 빈에 먼저 미니 거울을 쉬베나 소수기 찌들이야 가제 안에 지게 소수 대화 디 だに出るんだれやかられよとんどんだでまるぶんあのこんらんぐろこんらんでかじぐれせんパショルでねえどんなことやだぬぎゅうとちゃでやだかねつくしやだでにるゆこねこどんやだぬすやだでにしゅんごろわじゃだじそすぎこいでやわらちゃでこいでやわでちゃじにとぐとせんべどんどんやじ ニーミーでまるぶんでやらねこらなじゃなんかでべけなんとちょこじゃまんじゃでるわだめぜぎゃぷんじゅんまじゃでだれまずぎゃそそらんあのまちゃまちゃだまちゃまちゃだあのちょこじゃだでそれでそそぎそそぎでわじどんどんやじでわどんどんやでまるぶんでやがぷんじゅんなまじゃわれあのみぎゃそそらんなちょこじゃまちゃまちゃわれでね
从包头去呢，所属的电话端的口味电话端端呢，你端端呢，你端端了呀，等你过大呀的，等你这个加拿大，等你个什么加拿大，等你个这个电那个说些，米线了，你们呢，什么马大姐过大呀，英国吧，大家这个所属啦，他所属的第一主要的什么，第一端端了，他不能接接，等你他不能主要端端了。
那边的米线大个，那吃了苦麻椒的，米那这个，苦麻大吃椒的，这里吃上，有的，刚刚的那个原先上，再有个是李老师，俺这里吃苦味西北的了，短短椒的，短短椒的，我都是短短椒的，就算你米有的，你短椒的，你原来个短大了，满足干了就两个大麻辣椒的，你短大的马肚的，俺那吃不椒的，干了椒的，让些你个的，刚刚吃的，你用过的。
Attachment then to worldly pleasure is what strives most of our activities, and for most people in the world, it's what drives all their activities. So it's we have careers, and we put a lot of time and energy into accumulating material wealth for a variety of reasons, but in particular, it is to achieve worldly happiness. And this is the first aspect, the aspect of putting a lot of time and energy into striving for mere worldly happiness. The second aspect then is what happens when we don't achieve our desired happiness, or we've achieved it and then we lose it. Then anger comes, annoyance comes, frustration comes. So where one is quite likely to have some experience is on a personal level. So one meets someone who turns out to be quite wonderful, and you fall deeply in love with them, and you form a relationship with this person. Every time you merely think of them, your mind lights up, let alone when you speak to them or in their presence. And when you're together, you are at your happiest. But then the time comes when, despite being with this person, because of maybe something they've said or something they've done or just an expression they show, then this desired happiness that one has isn't achieved. And when that happens, then disappointment comes. Later then frustration and annoyance comes. And this is what then will lead to arguments and conflict in a relationship. And when we look at these situations of, for example, domestic violence, this all comes from the same stream of one's desire for worldly pleasures not being fulfilled. And so in our own personal lives, most of the problems and conflict that we have comes from this unfulfilled desire for worldly pleasures. But this isn't restricted just to ourselves as individuals, where there's conflict between communities or between nations. This too comes from a desire for worldly pleasure, or for a frustration in that desire not being fulfilled. This then is also, you can look at another very easy to understand analogy, and that is in the world of business. So people engage in business in order to achieve worldly happiness. And in order to achieve this worldly happiness, then people will say things that aren't necessarily true, so they'll deceive others, they'll take advantage of others. Moreover, furthermore, they may sell things to people that they don't need, or sell things to a consumer that is not appropriate to that person or their needs. And we see this in the news, we know this from our own experience. So this too, this deception, this dishonesty, it comes from this striving to achieve mere worldly happiness. So the root of all these problems, so dishonesty, deception, lying, arguments, physical, verbal conflict, this comes from a root of striving for worldly happiness. And this leads to problems and difficulties, not just for those we engage with, but for ourselves as well. So what we need to reflect on is the quality or the value that can be associated realistically with worldly happiness. Then we'll come to see actually how little value mere worldly happiness has. And seeing that it is quite worthless, this will serve to enable us to abandon our attachment for it. A way that we can come to see the fault that attachment for worldly pleasures play is now that you're all sitting here quietly and relaxed, then you can recall a recent event when you were frustrated or annoyed with someone or even angry with someone or over something. You can sit quietly, or maybe when you're having a cup of tea later, and think about that event. And here the idea is not to go over, this person said all these things or did all those things, but rather to look at one's own mind at the time. So here, when one's mind is calm and peaceful, then it is possible to reflect on these past events. In the moment, it's somewhat more difficult. But when we reflect back on an individual past event, we'll see that almost certainly our response, because we're looking at our response, our reflection isn't dominated by what was said or done, but our response and where that response came from. We will see that this response most likely came from our personal desires, our personal wishes not being fulfilled. So someone not acting in a way that we wanted them to do, not agreeing with a particular view, us not being able to do something that we wanted to do, etc. So in some way, when we look back, we'll see that in some way, a particular desire, a particular wish of ours was frustrated. We couldn't fulfill it. And then, depending on the strength of our grasping at that desire, the strength of that desire itself, comes the strength of the reaction. If someone was preventing us from doing something that we really wanted to do, or spoke to us in a way we found particularly offensive, or didn't agree with a view that we strongly believe in, then our response will be proportionately that much stronger. So this then shows that when we reflect like this, we come to see that our desire, our attachment to fulfill our wishes, is a cause of so many problems for ourselves and for others. And we can think then perhaps of someone that we, someone or even something that we have a poor view of. So someone we don't like, or a certain situation or a point of view that we don't like. So we will see this person or this view as faulty, as wrong, as mistaken. But if we think about it, we'll know that not everyone agrees. Others will like this person, or others will agree with that particular view or activity. So why is that? Why is that? Something that to us that is so clearly wrong, and but to others is fine, or to that person whose behavior we see as so faulty, but others don't have a problem with that person. So this, again, we look now, not dominated by what is being said or done, but at ourselves, and we'll see that it comes to whether our needs are being fulfilled, our desires are being fulfilled, our wishes are being fulfilled. And where someone is acting against our wishes, this tends to be a cause for the rise of anger and frustration and annoyance. So this attachment that we have is a cause for so many problems for ourselves, problems for others. So this is maybe a first step. We come to understand the role that the desire that we have for our worldly, or the attachment we have for our worldly desires to be fulfilled. We come to see the role that this plays in terms of spurring on further afflictions, in particular anger. And then, seeing the fault of that, we're then reminding ourselves that we do have this natural wish for happiness, this wish that all beings share for happiness, and this drives us drives us to strive for happiness. We need to use that natural wish we have for happiness, but to change the object. And instead of striving for worldly happiness, for temporary happiness, we should strive for a happiness that has meaning. Because if we can generate a sincere wish to achieve happiness that is stable, that is lasting, a happiness that is freed from suffering, then we will not be drawn to striving for worldly pleasures. These will be seen in their true light as insignificant, as having very minor, very temporary benefits. Rather, we will have as our goal a far greater prize, a prize of lasting happiness. Looking then at the second line here, we strive to make freedom and endowments meaningful. So here, Lama Tsongkhapa is presenting, it's then turning our mind to the opportunity that we have achieved. And when we see freedoms and endowments, or freedoms and opportunities, this refers to this this physical basis that we have achieved, this body, this life. And so here when we look at this, the opportunity that comes with this rebirth that we have achieved, we see that we have our sense powers, our sense organs are complete. So we can hear, we can see, we have intelligence, we don't have severe mental impediments. So there are we have certain advantages specifically to our physical basis. Moreover, in terms of the environment that we're in, we live in a place where the Mahayana Buddha Dharma abides. Moreover, there are teachers and practitioners of the Mahayana Dharma. So because we have this and the other freedoms and endowments complete, we have the opportunity to receive teachings and to be able to understand them, and furthermore, to use our intelligence and to come to understand them, to analyze them and come to understand them in a profound manner. And furthermore, we are able to meditate. We have the time and the opportunity and the ability to study the Buddha Dharma and to meditate on the meaning of the Buddha Dharma. So this is something that certainly is not found amongst all beings. We can, if we take an easy example, we can think of animals. So they have a physical body, they have a mind, but they cannot understand teachings, let alone have the intelligence to analyze the meaning and to think about what is virtuous behavior, non-virtuous behavior. And therefore, on the basis of their rebirth, it is very difficult for them to engage in virtuous activities to bring benefit to others. And this isn't the case for us. And this, we have this incredible opportunity due to having attained all these freedoms and endowments. We therefore can receive teachings, think about the meaning of these teachings and develop them within ourselves. In other words, through using our intelligence and these various opportunities that we have, we can develop spiritually. And so what that means here in this context of this particular verse is we have the ability, due to our broader opportunities and our intelligence, to come to see the faults of spending our life striving for worldly pleasures, and rather turn our mind towards a far greater pleasure, so towards lasting happiness, stable happiness. And by doing so, we can strive to ensure that our future rebirths are as good as this rebirth, and that our spiritual development progresses further and further, leading us towards the state of achieving our final spiritual goals. And moreover, we have the ability to see the benefits of doing that, and we have the ability to see the faults of not doing so. So this is a tremendous opportunity that we have achieved.
Mm.
What does this term here meaningful mean? So it's those who strive to make freedom and endowments meaningful. So this meaningful means that to be in the context of having the freedom and endowments, it means that we have a teacher, and so we can hear the Dharma teachings and understand them. And moreover, we have the time and the interest and the ability to think about the meaning of the teachings, to analyze the teachings, to investigate them, to meditate on this meaning, and give rise to the minds of the Dharma within ourselves. So how then does this ability then lead to leading a meaningful life? Or what is meant by meaningful life? So it's through hearing teachings and reflecting on the teachings that our way of thinking changes and our priorities change. And the priorities to be developed to make a life meaningful is, on the one hand, to strive for lasting happiness. And in order to achieve lasting happiness, alongside striving for lasting happiness, we need to engage in beneficial activities for others, or generate a mind that is striving to also bring benefits to others. So these two goals, striving for lasting happiness rather than temporary happiness, as well as being intent on bringing benefit to others rather than just concerned about ourselves, having these two minds as our focus, as our objective, as our motivation at all times, this is leading a meaningful life.
That's it, somebody. Yawa jebi lamla yitunbi, sir. Yawa jebi lamla yitunbi. Says another day, then the damper the rang, digidi, na digi yonga chita, shelly, a pamper yaku to twiggy, to two a didi, when they done that damper chow water. Dennis yonala, and a gunnish.
Going to go to Yanka.
The senior house on the dunna damper chow water, dunna deba jetan canelana, rangi, digidi, in a dingy dio yonga chita.
Let's then look again at this term meaningful, and in the context of the third line, who entrust themselves to the path pleasing the victorious ones. So we've just heard that what is meant by living a meaningful life is having as our objective, and using all our time and energy to strive to achieve this objective of striving for lasting happiness, as well as to bring benefit to others. So then how does one come about, how does one then actually achieve it? So if one has this as a goal, merely having it as a goal is not enough. One needs to know how to achieve it. So first of all, we need to think about the situation, we need to think about what is cyclic existence. So we heard about this briefly yesterday. We need to think, reflect repeatedly on what is cyclic existence and how we experience samsara. And in this way, we will come to see that samsara is essenceless. It has no true value or no real meaning. So this then enables us to turn our mind away from psychic existence, to turn our mind away from mere worldly happiness. Then this needs to be joined by a wish for something better. And this is the state of liberation, liberation from suffering. So then we need to generate a wish to strive for lasting happiness, the lasting happiness that comes from being liberated from suffering. So this is similar to what we heard yesterday afternoon, where we're looking at the faults of psychic existence. So we're turning our mind away from psychic existence, seeing it as pervaded by suffering, and then together with this, we're wanting to achieve something better, the lasting, the state of lasting happiness, the state that is liberation or nirvana. So this is this mind of definite emergence, wanting to definitely emerge from the sufferings of samsara and achieve liberation. So when we heard about a meaningful life, we spoke about striving for lasting happiness as well as to benefit others. So now we've spoken about how one goes about striving for lasting happiness. And then in terms of achieving this wish to bring benefit to others, this is done by seeing how all sentient beings, all suffering sentient beings, are in the same position as us, as wanting happiness, but are right now bound within the suffering state that is cyclic existence. Despite wanting lasting, stable happiness, they too are just experiencing suffering and will continue to do so, just like us, as long as we remain bound to samsara. So this then should give rise to the mind of compassion. And we can develop this mind of compassion as well as the mind of love, the mind wanting them to experience happiness. Develop these minds further and further to the point where we take commitment to lead all beings to the same state that we want to achieve. State of enlightenment, a state that is not only completely freed from suffering, but a state of greatest happiness and a state where one has the ability to be of greatest benefit to others. So, in terms of these two objectives to living a meaningful life, we've looked at the first, which is striving for happiness, for lasting happiness, which means this mind of definite emergence, to turn away from the suffering that is samsara and strive for the state of lasting happiness or liberation. And then the second component of living a meaningful life is to bring benefit to others. And now we've spoken about how we use this mind of definite emergence to develop the mind of bodhicitta. And this is how, through the mind of bodhicitta, we fulfill this wish to bring true benefit to others. But then, there's one further characteristic that is required to be able to fulfill both of these minds, both of these wishes, this mind of definite emergence and bodhicitta, and that is the wisdom realizing emptiness. And why is the wisdom realizing emptiness required? In order to achieve liberation from suffering, then the causes for us suffering, these afflicted minds, these need to be eliminated. Because once the causes of suffering are eliminated, we are free from suffering. We have liberation. We are liberated from suffering. So how does one go about eliminating the causes of our suffering? This is the wisdom realizing emptiness, the direct antidote to suffering. So therefore, the wisdom realizing emptiness is required in order to achieve our desired goal of lasting happiness. Secondly, in order to be able to benefit others, then this mind of bodhicitta needs to be accompanied by the wisdom realizing emptiness for the same reason. In order to be able to truly benefit others, we need to become the most skilled of guides. We need to become a Buddha. And bodhicitta alone is unable to lead to the attainment or the development of the state of Buddhahood. The wisdom realizing emptiness is also required, because all the afflicted minds, together with both their seeds and stains, need to be completely eliminated. And this can only be done by the direct antidote of the wisdom realizing emptiness. So therefore, in order to fulfill our objective of living a meaningful life, we need to develop the minds of definite emergence, bodhicitta, and the correct view, or the wisdom realizing emptiness. So this is done through practicing the path that is pleasing to the victorious ones.
Mm-hmm. Dene, dene ki lam jamba ta zewa nyingche kumya ta, janshu sem kumya ta, tongyu tupi sherab. Dene ki lam dile jawa jebe lam si ura, jawa jebe lam. Sidhwa ta dene ki jawa jebe lam lago karasana, dene nyangang tuki, dene ki nyamlan cheba ina, tan sangye diye gawucha gire, tu nyi gire, jawa jeba lan, tu nye bala gireba. Chisa nyangang tuki, dene nyamlan cheba ina, an di, ちゃんと、ジャムニジェ、ちゃんと、トンユトビシェラパンドドスコム、ニャムレチェバイナ、ディネギャワ、サンギチャサン、アンディア、トゥキエ、ペマス、トゥキヨレス、ジャンギャワキビ、ラムセアティシオレ、ジャンディネロワダペネ、トゥキヨレス、カラセネ、サンギギ、マンアンズリアン、マンズコワラコジュバザギディナ、ドマニョディゴザ、サンギドマ、サンギペ、ドマニョディス、ペナズニジェロシウチ、ヨロワダ、ニジペ、ゼワシウチョロワダ、タンアンドドマダ、ジャウドウス、タンアンズ、デワダ、デンゴドウス、ペケ、ゼワシウチ、ゼワ、ジャンバダ、ゼワシウチ、シモシウチョロワダ、マンズギディ、ジャンバダ、ニジョコム、ジャンジュセモ、トンユトビシェラコミョディ、ドマダ、 Nyamlin Jehol, Sema Tembanaji, Kunto, Dinamlin Jig to Tisha, Dinamlin Jeva, and the Kunto, Takoa, Dile Tar, Duma, Tarugure, Digi, Digi, Leongure, Samje, in Jeva, two Kigi, said, did it, I didn't Kigi, yes, or.
So, therefore, training in these three minds of definite emergence, bodhicitta, and the wisdom realizing emptiness. This is practicing the path. It's developing the path. And so this path taught by the Buddhas, and it's the path that brings great... it's a path that's taught by the Buddhas. So the situation that we are in now, remaining trapped within psychic existence, obscured by ignorance, and pervaded by suffering, this is something that generates powerful compassion arising in the minds of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Because we are the objects of their compassion. They observe us suffering within psychic existence, lost in psychic existence, and we are then the objects of their compassion. But then, through hearing the teachings, reflecting on the teachings, and starting to develop these minds of the Dharma through changing our perspective, changing our objectives, this brings great joy to the minds of the Buddhas. Because they see us now as taking our first baby steps to progress towards attaining an actual path in our minds. And they see us taking our first steps to abandon suffering, to turn away from the pleasures of samsara and strive for something far greater. And moreover, they see us generating minds such as love and compassion for others who are suffering too. And then they can see that we are generating the wish to attain paths within our own continuum, to enter the bodhisattva paths and to join the Buddhas and bodhisattvas in their quest to alleviate all beings from suffering. So when the Buddhas see us making efforts here, striving to try and develop our way of thinking, to develop spiritually, this brings tremendous joy to them, because they see us they see our behavior here as fulfilling their heartfelt wish.
Kawa the Demba, see the Tachanzo, the Nick, any lam yamlin, the name yamlin, she had a child to go up your Tunjin Santiwa, yes, or that, Gaiden, see the Kawa the Demba, like the Tunjin Santiwa. Says that Tunjin, then you mill you top, and then you looting each other, and the child to the Tunjin Sayore, and then Chi shake and Chi, you about the Dinni Chi Tone, Tunjin Sayore, says that Dinni, then Tunjin Santiwa, go up, yeah, we did it, yes, or Gaiden. Then, dangwa sida gobu che che la, ane nyan ya, ane gobu che ni nyan gogo, dene ge da janshu, janpa de nyi che, janshu sem gom, tongye dupe shera gomba, nyamlan che vane, pe masa yakure dwa, di sosu ge dunga se, sosu le kanga me duken, sosu le ge di na di ji jan yue duken, shen le ya penpa yakbo jub duken, pe masa yakure, che zang dene ge nyamlan che da tar shen pa yana, sanji ye gomba se tukure, che zang sanji ye gomba tumna, di da namba kundu dewa tang, ane shen le ya penpa jan ya, jub duken jire, dene
You fortunate ones, listen with an attentive mind. So this is the fourth line here. So here we are being encouraged to listen to the teachings with an attentive mind and to apply them to ourselves. Because, now we take the meaning of this verse, so we're reminded that we have achieved the complete freedoms and opportunities, or the freedom and endowments, and that gives us an incomparable opportunity to receive the teachings of the Buddha and to develop them within ourselves. Because if you think about it, we have all the favorable circumstances right now that we could hope for. We have the teachings, we have the mental capacity to understand them, to hear them, to understand them, and to analyze their meaning. And we have the time and opportunity here to reflect on them, to meditate on them, to develop this meaning within us, to develop these virtuous minds within us. So seeing this, this certainly brings great joy and delight to the Buddhas, because they know that through our meditations on love and compassion, which have the twofold purpose of turning us away it's away from worldly pleasures and cyclic existence, and turning us to striving for Buddhahood for the sake of others. This brings tremendous benefit, tremendous joy to the minds of the Buddhas, because they see us as individuals progressing towards our own liberation, and moreover, us as individuals developing ourselves in a direction where we can join the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas in eventually bringing greatest benefits to all beings as well. So here we are being encouraged. This last line is written in a way with there's an imperative explicitly mentioned, and this imperative shows that we are being strongly encouraged to listen with an intensive mind, to continue in the way that we are developing right now. Yesterday, the verse we covered, Lama Tsongkhapa said that he is going to explain the three principal aspects of the path, namely Death and Emergence, Bodhicitta, and the correct view, unmistakenly. And now, in this verse, he's saying, moreover, you as the students, you as the audience, you need to listen well. You need to listen attentively. You need to listen with a calm mind, with an open mind. And this, and so he's making now this second point here, because we're all here with a wish to develop spiritually, to spiritually progress. To be able to do so depends on having a teacher who is able to present the path, present the meditations in a manner that is unmistaken. But that alone is insufficient. It also depends on ourselves. So no matter how great a teacher is, if the students are not attentive, if they are close-minded, if they are not particularly engaged, the benefit is negligible. So therefore, our spiritual progression is dependent on both the teacher as well as ourselves and our own effort that we make. So here, in the second verse, we are being encouraged to listen with an attentive mind. Now we come to look in more detail at these the individual aspects of the path. So first is, of course, definite emergence or renunciation. So here the Lama Tsongkhapa presents it presents it in three stages or three levels. Firstly, the reason why we need to meditate on definite emergence. Secondly, what is meant by definite emergence. And thirdly, then, how to actually go about meditating on it. So now we come to the third verse. Again, I just read the first two lines. Without the complete intention to definitely emerge from cyclic existence, there is no way to pacify attachment seeking pleasurable effects in the ocean of samsara. So just to repeat what I said yesterday, sometimes I will, when I read out the verse, I'll just use the vocabulary we usually use rather than what we have here. So what we see in these first two lines is that and then also then the third line, also by craving for cyclic existence, embodied beings are continuously bound. And this then refers to the reasons why to meditate on definite emergence.
That is more. That then again, I also. Because when you jump from Google, search something, and this more, what then? Namda, you jump, maybe for a sixo, yesterday, then also.
Jesus
제자 디니게 타바질라 안에 가는 공부에 예주 마곤바나 타야요 말해서 제자 타투 말해서 남다 예주 매바라 시소이 시디 제자 남바다 바 예주 남바다 바지 마곤바 있나 안에 시비 코와딜라 타투고 말해지래.
So read these the first three lines again. Without the complete intention to definitely emerge from cyclic existence, there is no way to pacify attachment seeking pleasurable effects in the ocean of samsara. Also, by craving for cyclic existence, embodied beings are continuously bound. This term then, ocean of samsara, so this refers to the reason then this analogy of the ocean is used in this context, is if we, for example, were to come to the ocean, ocean then refers to all the sufferings that we experience within cyclic existence. So the ocean we know as vast, and the sufferings that we experience within cyclic existence are comparably vast. And furthermore, if we come to the ocean's shore, we see this vast expanse of ocean before us, we have no way on our own to cross this ocean. So if we have been told that on the far side of this vast ocean there is a place of lasting, stable happiness, we have no means on our own to get there. We can't swim there. We need help. So in the world, we of course would rely on probably an airplane, otherwise a ship. But without assistance, we will not be able to cross this ocean. So here then this analogy has the meaning that without doing something very different from what we have always done, we will never be able to cross this ocean of suffering to the far shore of liberation. So what do we need to do differently? We need to develop specific minds within ourselves. And here, that refers to the mind of definite emergence. Because without developing this mind that definitely wants to emerge from the sufferings of cyclic existence, samsara will never end. So now looking at these three lines together, so we can remind ourselves that the being that eventually became Buddha Shakyamuni, that being in a far distant life, was also an ordinary being trapped within cyclic existence, suffering in the mirrored ways that we are right now. And at that time, the Buddha and ourselves, there was really no difference. The Buddha was, the being that would become the Buddha, was an ordinary suffering sentient being. And we, at that stage, were just ordinary suffering beings too. But yet, the Buddha went on to achieve full and complete enlightenment, to completely abandon all the faults within his continuum, both the coarse and the subtle, and the very subtle, and develop all qualities to the furthest level, and became a Buddha. And we find ourselves still ordinary sentient beings. The reason for this difference is that the Buddha started with looking at the nature of cyclic existence and coming to understand what is the nature of cyclic existence. And that then leads to the point where he stopped striving for worldly happiness and rather started to see the benefits of liberation and wanted to achieve that wholeheartedly. So the position all ordinary beings are is that we are still dominated by this wish for worldly pleasures. And our energy, our mental energy, our physical, verbal energy goes in the direction of achieving worldly pleasures. And our annoyance and frustration shows this, because when we don't achieve these worldly pleasures, we experience unhappiness in our minds. So here, we need to start to see the faults of cyclic existence and thereby see the faults of worldly pleasures. Because it is this, when you see here in the third line, also by craving for cyclic existence, embodied beings are continuously bound. What binds us, what keeps us bound within this wheel of cyclic existence, or this continuity of cyclic existence, is this desire for worldly happiness. So the desire for worldly happiness, these are afflicted minds. So those afflictions are what bind us to samsara. But a clear way to understand this is this desire for worldly happiness is what binds us to cyclic existence. And this is what needs to be abandoned. And the way that this is abandoned is to develop this mind of definite emergence. Because it's a mind of definite emergence that wants us to turn away from these worldly pleasures, seeing that there's something far greater. Without this mind of definite emergence, our way of thinking will not change. And we will continue to be controlled by our afflicted minds. All our activities, our physical and verbal activities, will be influenced or controlled by these afflicted minds.
Then Sila Gamba, Yijan, Lujan Nam, then Sila Gamba, and Sibalia, say, Ko Kui, Dehola, and Be Deva, Deshaki, Chawaki. Then on the Deniki Chow, Lujan, the same Jalagora, then it is Chawaki, the same Jen Digela, and Jesa, Mother Koala Tartu Roma, Jesa Deniza, Manzugi, that Chojin, Garetatu, Karijan Tavarelana. Then Rangya Deva, Shenya Pemba Juting Deva Gores, Ditarva said it is. Just like Dick Topudu, Sembe Dunyer Gores, D Dunyer Gavaina, then Minukova, Jun Toyd, Kova Divilia, Dunyer Dumba, the Shuchim Ligmares, Deniza, Nijun Gomgubidu, Jesa Deniza, Lujanam, Guni, Chinchir, Tomar and Nijun Zal, said Guni, Chitamadi, Guni, Chinchir. Tomorrow, you can tell. So, the name is the number of the name 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 of the name
First, the prayer at the third line and then the fourth line. So the third line, also by craving for cyclic existence, embodied beings are continuously bound. So as we've just heard, that what binds us within cyclic existence, within this experience that is cyclic existence, is our desire for worldly pleasures, our attachment to worldly pleasures. And this leads us to put all our energy into achieving this wish for happiness, but the happiness of mere worldly pleasures. And this is the case for all ordinary beings. So beings are in this position for a few reasons, but primarily it's because they don't understand the situation that they are actually in. There's this ignorance of not knowing the actual situation that they find themselves in. And then this would be because they haven't yet been able to find a teacher who can explain this situation to them. They haven't yet come under the care of someone who has who's understood the nature of psychic existence and the path to freedom from that. So this is the situation of all ordinary beings remaining bound within psychic existence due to striving to fulfill their desire for worldly pleasures. So we need to see that we have this wish for happiness. And this is a wish that is natural to all of us. But the way we try to fulfill this wish for happiness, this is deeply mistaken. Because no matter how many worldly pleasures we achieve, our need for happiness remains unfulfilled. So we have experience of this. And when we look and we see just how pervasive this motivating force of striving for worldly pleasures is, or the striving for happiness, we see that despite this pervasiveness of this motivation, we are yet to achieve our wish for happiness, because all the happiness we have experienced quickly ends and leaves us afterwards feeling unfulfilled. So this serves two purposes. This faulty way of thinking serves two purposes. We do not achieve our desire for happiness, our longed for happiness. And secondly, it keeps us trapped within the state of suffering that is cyclic existence. So what we need to do is see the faults of this current situation and find the technique to achieve what we actually do want, which is lasting happiness. So our wish for happiness, this is fine. The problem is we're trying to fulfill it right now in the wrong way, and we need to understand how one can achieve our wish for lasting happiness. So the starting point is to see the essenceless of cyclic existence, that it has no worth or value, and rather our wish for happiness, this is achieved when we cross this ocean of cyclic existence and we achieve liberation from suffering. So there are two components then to this mind of definite emergence. There's the component of abandoning, so abandoning the wish for worldly happiness. And then there's the component of striving for something new, and that is for the lasting happiness of liberation. So this needs two components: the wish to definitely emerge from suffering and progress to the attainment of liberation. Then in our fourth line, therefore, at the very beginning, seek definite emergence. So this line then serves to point out that this is our starting point. Our starting point is to come to understand the faults of cyclic existence and see that it has no essence, no meaning. In other words, there is no worthy goal to strive for within cyclic existence, because there is no goal that will lead to our longed for lasting happiness. And rather, we should strive for liberation from suffering, liberation from samsara, the attainment of nirvana. Two parts. The first part is the first three lines, and the second part is the fourth line. So these first three lines, without the complete intention to definitely emerge from cyclic existence, there's no way to pacify attachment seeking pleasurable effects in the ocean of samsara. Also, by craving for cyclic existence, embodied beings are continuously bound. So this then shows reasons why we need to cultivate definite emergence, why we need to meditate on definite emergence. And then the fourth line, therefore at the very beginning, seek definite emergence. This then shows that the path upon which one needs to meditate. In other words, in order to give rise to an actual mental path, one needs to start at the very beginning by meditating on definite emergence. This class then is finished for the morning. So just to briefly recap what we've been looking at here. So we've spoken about the need to become freed from the suffering of cyclic existence. And if we don't generate this mind that is definite or is certain about wanting to be freed from the suffering of cyclic existence will never come to an end on its own. As long as we remain trapped in cyclic existence, we will continue to create further causes that will keep us bound here. So cyclic existence can never come to an end on its own. It can only come to an end by ourselves developing the contrary minds. And this starts with the mind of definite emergence. And to generate this mind of definite emergence, we need to come to see that samsara itself has no essence, it has no true value or true meaning. And rather, and even when we do experience happiness, that is temporary, it doesn't last, and often leads to frustration and greater desire when it ends. And that this whole situation that is cyclic existence comes about due to the contaminated karma that we ourselves have accumulated due to our own afflicted minds. And the way then to abandon this situation of cyclic existence starts with turning our mind away from samsara, seeing it as pervaded by suffering, and seeing that there's something far greater, a state of mental peace, a state of lasting, uninterrupted happiness. So to develop this way of thinking, to change the strong habituation that we have to a particular way of thinking, doesn't come quickly, it doesn't come easily. It requires repeated meditation over a sustained period, gathering new knowledge, putting it into practice through meditation. And if we do this repeatedly over a sustained period, then our current mistaken way of thinking will weaken, and we'll develop stronger familiarity, familiarization with a new way of thinking, a way of thinking that is in accordance with reality. And this then ensures that our attainment of an actual path, the attainment of uncontrived definite emergence, that quickly nears. And if that is nearing, then so too is the attainment of our final goals, the goals of liberation or Buddhahood. So that's what we've looked at this morning. Then this afternoon, we will continue with the presentation on the first of the principal aspects, that of definite emergence, and look at how to meditate on definite emergence. So then we'll end here.